I next met with nurse practitioner Dr. Kevin Briggle, and to begin, he presented a 47-year-old woman from his practice.
When we first saw her, she actually wasn't expecting a diagnosis of multiple myeloma. She had a history of degenerative joint disease and already had a right hip replacement. And so her left hip pain, she thought, was actually just related to that. And so when they did x-rays and found a lesion in there and biopsied it and found that was full of plasma cells. And so that was her diagnosis then of multiple myeloma. So she was very, very active for the most part, exercised every day. And so I think she just thought it was more of the same.
What was her family situation? What kind of work did she do?
She kind of works in her husband's business. He is actually a representative. He does orthopedic surgery implant type things, sales for that. And she has two young children. One's about 12 years old. The other's around 9 years old, two young girls.
And what were some of the key things about the workup of this patient that were important in determining how you were going to proceed?
Well, I think probably the first thing you think of was that she was very young to begin with and had lytic lesions, so her pathway was definitely going to be induction chemotherapy and then on to a transplant. So that was kind of given from the start. And the fact, of course, that she had lytic lesions led us to look for other lytic lesions. That was an important thing then as well. So,
did she have any other evidence of disease outside the bone?
Just in the bone marrow she had disease, yeah, but nothing else.
So I see that she got lenalidomide, bortezomib, and dexamethasone, the so-called RVD regimen.
Correct.
I'm curious, when you sat down with her to sort of explain to her what multiple myeloma is, as you mentioned, she's much younger than the average patient, and the therapy, the therapeutic course that you were recommending, what are some of the things that you went through with her?
Of course, with anyone, especially a woman who is of childbearing age, which she was, anyone under 50 has to go through a pregnancy test. So discussing lenalidomide and the potential of harm to unborn fetuses, that was probably the most important thing. People don't like to hear that to begin with. And so I think that was where we really focused on that part of it. And then we moved into the other potential side effects with lenalidomide, of course, which are the blood clots. And she was a very active woman, but she still needed to be anticoagulated.
One other thing about the initial workup is the issue of cytogenetics and trying to sort of figure out what the risk situation is. What do you typically do and what did you see in this patient?
Yeah, so in this patient, of course, we do the FISH and the standard G-banding off of the bone marrow biopsy. And she had a number of cytogenetic abnormalities, nothing that was high risk. She had a number of basically duplications of chromosomes, which are not bad risk factors. And so she really staged out as more or less a stage one. She was actually, from that standpoint, low risk.
So you mentioned about the lenalidomide, but she also would be receiving bortezomib.
Right.
How is that generally administered in the RVD regimen? And what are some of the things that you discuss with her about receiving bortezomib?
Right. And so in the RVD regimen, the bortezomib is administered always sub-Q. I know there are some individuals that still do it IV, but we always do it sub-Q as it has fewer side effects. So the main factor with her that we discussed was the neuropathy, which is the dose-limiting side effect of the bortezomib. And so especially as a young woman, we didn't want to impair her. She's got a long life ahead of her. All this works really well. So it was an important thing and not something you can see by labs. And so we always tell people, I can't look at you and tell you if you have neuropathy, but can we talk about it every single time and talk to the nurses about it as well.
What do you typically see when neuropathy does develop? What are usually the first signs of it?
I think the first signs are usually what the patient tells us is that the numbness and tingling, typically in the fingertips and the toes. I think if anything, it happens more in the feet than it does in the hands. But still, that's the red flag to think about dose reducing and or holding if absolutely necessary.
What about the dexamethasone in this situation? Again, anything that you mentioned to her about that?
Yeah, and I think the dexamethasone is always the bad guy in pretty much all the heme malignancies, and multiple myeloma is no different. And so we do talk about how to take the dexamethasone as well, and we kind of leave that up to the patient. We try to pick a start day and a good dexamethasone day for them. We talk to them all about the myriad of side effects with the dexamethasone, especially the labile mood and the lack of sleep that can associate with that. And with a lot of patients, we tell them one of the better things to do is perhaps maybe take it in the evening, and that way it doesn't really ramp up until later, maybe late in the morning. Morning or early morning the next day. And so it makes it a little more palatable. But I think also that discussion is really important to have with the caretaker or other family member there as well to let them know that some of these emotional changes are going to happen that are really out of their control.
And so how did she actually do when she got the RVD? Did she have any kind of tolerability issues?
No, she didn't. And in fact, I think her most significant issue at the time of diagnosis was pain. And I think convincing her that really within the first couple of weeks of getting therapy with the steroids and the lenalidomide and the bortezomib, that the pain would come under pretty good control as we treated the disease. And it really did. And so from that point on, I think when she saw how successful it was right from the start, she did really well with it and didn't mind it.
So was she taking pain medicines before therapy, and was she able to stop them?
Yeah, she took a little pain medicine. She is one of those people who didn't like to take pain medicine, so she kind of grinned and bared it a little bit more than anything. And yeah, shortly after, probably within the first month, discontinued all pain medication altogether and started actually doing some more low-impact type of exercises again.